Is it time to call an end to the war on drugs? That's the question getting asked a lot right now. Today marks 50 years since the drug war began, ushering in severe drug laws that many public health experts say did more harm than good. NPR addiction correspondent Brian Mann joins me now to talk about what these policies meant for the country and what could come next. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Sarah.
So, Brian, 50 years, that is a big milestone. How did the United States end up going down this road?
Yeah, it's interesting, Sarah. In June of 1971, President Richard Nixon stepped up to the podium at the White House and gave this speech that turned out to be a historic pivot for the country. He declared this new kind of war that would be fought here at home on the streets of American cities and small towns.
America's public enemy number one in the United States is drug abuse. In order to fight and defeat this enemy, it is necessary to wage a new all-out offensive.
And that moment ushered in this new national consensus. For a long time after that, Democrats and Republicans have embraced this idea that drug addiction could be fought on a kind of military footing. The U.S. spent hundreds of billions of dollars on this effort, created a whole new bureaucracy with new armies of police and federal agents. And of course, one of the side effects of this is we sent millions of Americans, mostly Black and Brown Americans, to prison on drug charges, which meant building a vast new system of jails and prisons, which was unlike anything the country had seen before.
And Brian, I do want to talk about how race fits in here. We as a network have covered the Black Lives Matter movement, of course, over the last year or so. In my own reporting, I've heard people connecting the call for police reform back to these drug war policies, which often are a big part of the reason that police are going into these communities, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, data collected throughout this drug war has always shown a devastating level of racial bias. Studies show this pattern where white people who use drugs more often get treatment, while people of color who use the very same drugs often face arrest and long prison sentences. And there's also a sense among some Black leaders that the drug war changed the way police operate in their communities in really troubling ways. Cassandra Frederick is with the Drug Policy Alliance. She told me that police started treating many Black communities like war zones, like occupied territory.
Part of the reason we also need to end the drug war, not just for our loved ones that are struggling with addiction, but we need to remove the excuse that that is why law enforcement gets to invade our space or kill us.
Some of the most tragic deaths that inspired the Black Lives Matter protests over the last year actually involved drug cases. You know, George Floyd suffered from addiction and had used fentanyl before he was murdered. Breonna Taylor was killed during a drug raid. She wasn't the target, but police officers broke down the door of her apartment and shot her to death.
You've been talking to the experts. Is there evidence that, you know, 50 years in, we are at some kind of inflection point about rethinking this approach?
No one I talk to says the drug war is over, but some of the changes we've seen already are pretty dramatic. You know, those severe drug laws that once had bipartisan support are being scaled back or scrapped altogether all over the country. That's meant big reductions in prison populations, down by a third or more in many states. As you know, there's also been this unprecedented move toward drug legalization, especially for marijuana. And polls suggest a lot of Americans do support these changes and believe, in many cases, the drug war itself should be scrapped. And one thing that's interesting, Sarah, is that in my interviews over the last year, I found that view shared by most drug policy experts, really across the political spectrum. They say the evidence is clear. This approach to drug addiction just didn't work. You know, drug use nationally is as high as ever, and overdoses are actually at record levels, with 90,000 drug deaths last year alone.
As things stand, we do have a huge infrastructure that was created to fight the drug war. Prisons, policing, things like that. What do you hear from people who are part of that infrastructure? Are they ready to shift the approach?
You know, I hear law enforcement being really conflicted at this point. They tell me they no longer believe that the U.S. can solve this problem with arrests and long prison sentences and drug seizures, which again, Sarah, were the basic tools of this drug war. One reason that they're backing away from some of those ideas is that the drugs being sold now on the streets, especially fentanyl and methamphetamines, these drugs are synthetic, which means they're incredibly potent and dangerous. And also it means that drug cartels can make them really cheaply, almost anywhere. And that makes them incredibly hard for law enforcement to stop. I talked about this with Matthew Donahue. He's one of the top officials at the Drug Enforcement Administration.
you know, back in the day when we would see, you know, 5-10 kilograms of meth would make you a hero. You get a seizure like that. Now it's common for us to see 100, 200, 300 kilogram seizures of meth in the United States. And some of these seizures that we've made, it doesn't make a dent to the price. I mean, they basically can make meth without any repercussions or unmolested in Mexico with no consequences.
So very few drug warriors I talk to are willing to throw in the towel in this fight. But there is this sense of frustration and an acknowledgement that this approach just hasn't worked.
Now, we've been talking primarily about illegal drugs. Of course, the opioid epidemic that the country's been facing for years now, prescription opioids, or at least a significant part of that, things like OxyContin. How has that epidemic changed the way people think about the drug war?
Yeah, this is something that drug policy experts say was another big blow to the credibility of the drug war. You know, while law enforcement focused so heavily on street drugs, critics say they completely dropped the ball regulating pharmaceutical companies. And we saw some of the biggest corporations in America earning tens of billions of dollars selling these opioids, these pain pills, while addiction and death rates soared. So, you know, we continue even today to lock up a lot of street dealers. But critics of the drug war point out that very few of the corporate executives involved in that drug trade have been held accountable.
Which brings us to the question, I mean, what happens next here? Obviously, addiction can be terrible for families, for communities. If we've lost the drug war, what do we do about that?
Yeah, you know, drug addiction can be devastating. It's been devastating to my own family. Many people now have some connection to this problem. But there is actually a lot of hope right now. And this is another reason experts say things with the drug war are changing. A growing body of research shows addiction is a chronic but very treatable illness. There are better medicines and therapies all the time. And that means the overwhelming majority of people who get care, they actually get better. They wind up living really full lives.
Brian Mann is NPR's addiction correspondent, talking about the 50-year-long war on drugs and what could come next. In the days ahead, we will dig deeper and travel to some of the communities hit hardest by addiction and the drug war. Thank you so much for your time, Brian.
Thank you, Sarah.